We are joined right now by a CBS football analyst, also a two-time Super Bowl champion, a seven-year NFL vet, played his college ball at Florida State. He was the 62nd pick overall back in 05. He is Bryant McFadden. Bryant, really good to have you back. First off, how are you and everybody around you doing during this pandemic?
Everybody's around me doing pretty good. Thank you for asking. This has kind of become the new normal, you know, only going out for important things like the grocery store, things of that nature. So I'm starting to kind of get used to this vibe, unfortunately. But, everybody's optimistic that eventually we can get back to some type of normalcy sooner than later. So everybody's in good health. That's the most important thing.
That is. And it is really surreal and really strange. Like, if you were to think back to your playing career and the routine you had during the offseason, how much would it have been impacted by the coronavirus and the fact that team facilities and gyms have been closed for as long as they have?
I think the biggest, adjustment I would have had to make would be the professional trainer or the professional training that I was receiving. For quite some time, going back a month ago, you weren't really allowed to be out being able to go about your training like you would if this was a normal off-season regimen. So I think being able to implement workouts on my own would be the best ideal to try to stay in shape. Now things are starting to open up a little bit. I'm starting to see guys work out with the professional trainers now. But I think the most critical time would have been, that mid-March, early April period where they pretty much locked down everything. And there lies the high school workouts, doing things on your own before you had the means to go out and have professional trainers, be able to assist you.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. Exactly. So you tweeted out a clip earlier today, and you were talking about Lamar Jackson and how he's played in the postseason. He has been truly special since he took over as the starter for Baltimore, but his January numbers are not that great. Is that just a couple of bad games against good teams, or in your mind, is that a cause for concern?
I think it's, a few bad games against really good teams on the biggest stage. Now, his rookie year, against the Chargers had an ideal game plan for the Baltimore Ravens. So you can't just put that on Lamar Jackson. But yet and still, he plays the most important position. He plays the most criticized position, which is the quarterback. So you still kind of gave him, he's a rookie, big stage, first postseason game. All right, most rookies struggle on that level. And then a year ago, looking at how well he played in the regular season that led to an MVP award, and then playing against the Tennessee Titans and not seeing what we saw from Lamar Jackson definitely was something to really look at. Now, Jim, the entire team struggled, right? I mean, we saw drop passes from his wide receivers. The play calling was not ideal. We saw his defense clearly couldn't stop the ground and pound attack from the Tennessee Titans. But when you're the MVP, expectations follow you, regardless of what the other positions are doing around you. And there lies the opportunity to really dissect to see exactly, is this more about Lamar Jackson or is this more about the entire ball club?
Bryant McFadden is joining us. To that point, Bryant, it's kind of self-evident, but I'm going to ask you, because you've got a pair of rings, how different is playoff football from regular season football?
It's night and day. It's like when you're playing in the postseason, when it comes to NFL terms, it's like a game seven. There's no series. So it's do or die. And both teams have that same mentality. Both coaching staffs have that same mentality. And you don't see the mistakes. And when you do see the mistakes, that usually put that ball club in position to lose. And everything is intense. The intensity is at all-time high. Guys are moving faster, Jim. I remember my rookie year, the preseason, the vets were telling the rookie class, guys, you guys haven't seen nothing yet. I mean, preseason football is okay, but when you get to the regular season, everything goes up 10 levels. And then they set a difference. Yes, it is. But when you get to the postseason, guys are moving as fast as they potentially can. I mean, everything is intensified, and you don't see the mistakes that you usually see in the regular season because you're playing good on good.
We're talking to Bryant McFadden. All right, so let me get you to stay in the AFC North for 1 minute. When you look at Baker Mayfield, he went into last season, he had all that hype coming off that good rookie season. What was the biggest difference for you between his rookie year and last season?
I think year two, just from the individual standpoint, Jim, I don't think Baker was having fun. You remember his rookie year? He was having fun. You can tell. You can see from his body expression. You can see from his facial expression. He was enjoying the opportunity of playing football. Last year, we didn't see the same demeanor from Baker. I mean, we saw more of Baker on commercials than actually being relaxed on the football field. So I think the fun was not there. And, of course, it's hard to have fun, Jim, when you're struggling, when you're not winning ball games, you're not playing pretty good football. And I think the trust that he had in his coaching staff left. If year one, Freddie Kitchens was getting the best out of Baker Mayfield. He understood what he did well, what he didn't do well. But he put him in position to be successful. And year two, that relationship between coach and player was not tight. It wasn't glued together. And I think that resulted into Baker not trusting what the coaching staff was telling him to do. And because of that, they weren't successful.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. All right, so what are your thoughts on Ben Roethlisberger, Bryant? He got a haircut. He's throwing once again. Steelers GM Kevin Colbert had said earlier in the offseason he thought the team might have a better Ben Roethlisberger after the surgery than even before it. What's your reaction when you hear that?
I mean, you have to be excited. You know, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, if you're part of the organization, Big Ben is still a top-tier quarterback, in my opinion. I think the last year we saw Big Ben play a full season, 2018, he threw for like 5,000 yards, if I'm not mistaken, over 30 touchdowns. So Big Ben is still a top-level quarterback, in my opinion. And hearing Colbert talk about the strength, you might get a better Big Ben, you know, after this surgery. I mean, other teams should be mindful and should be afraid of that, I think, because looking at his offensive line, the structure, the stability, looking at the wide receivers, and, of course, Connor, this is a big year for Connor and Juju, contract-like years. If those guys are healthy, that offense is going to be entertaining to watch. And then I don't need to talk about the defense, Jim. You know what they have on the defensive side. And I did an HQ hit a few days ago, and, of course, people always call me, you know, they say I'm biased toward the Steelers and I'm a homer. And sometimes I might be. I got two miniature Lombardis in the house because of the Steelers.
You bet.
But when you look at that team from top to bottom, especially if you have a healthy Big Ben, you have to like their chances of not just winning the division, but having a deep postseason run if everything goes accordingly when it comes to health.
So, Brian, what about that defense? For instance, there was a lot of talk right after the Minka Fitzpatrick move. What do you make of how he impacted that defense after the trade with Miami?
Man, listen, Minka made a good defense great. Like, and when you get traded mid-season, during the season, Jim, that's a very, very difficult task. Let's think about the non-football-related priorities you have to deal with. Moving, you know, if you have a family with you, being able to get adjusted to the new area, finding a place to live. And then when it comes to what the football priorities, learning the playbook, learning the verbiage, being able to understand the check. Man, when he got there instantly, he was rolling. So he made a good defense great, and you can tell Keith Butler and his staff, they were using Fitzpatrick the best way possible, something we didn't see with the Miami Dolphins. And Pete Prisco, you know, our colleague with CBS, he did his top 100. Jim, Pete left Minka Fitzpatrick off his top 100 list. Mm. Guy who made all pro. And I jumped on Pete's list from top to bottom. But when I saw Fitzpatrick left off Pete's top 100, clearly I got fired up. I was sweating. I was ready to jump through the monitor at Pete because that was disrespectful to leave a guy like Fitzpatrick, based on what he did last year, off his top 100 list.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. I feel you. All right, so what about Tom Brady? What do you make of his decision to go to Tampa, and how do you think he's going to show up there this year?
I'm okay with his decision. Actually, I wanted to see Tom move, leave the Patriots when it comes to, you know, what he's done. And just from the spotlight, giving us something to talk about, I think it was huge. It was great for the game of football, especially going through the situation that we've been going through when he made this announcement. It was great for us. And the move to go to Tampa is perfect. I like it. You go into a situation where you have a veteran coach that has won a championship. He's been around veteran elite-type quarterbacks, an upcoming play caller in Byron Leftwich. And then personnel-wise, Jim, I mean, you got two number ones at the wide receiver position, in my opinion, in Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And then you revamped the offensive line, made some additions to the offensive line, especially in the draft. Then you do the unthinkable, right? I thought Rob Gronkowski was okay jumping off the top rope and elbowing people in wrestling.
Right.
I didn't think Gronkowski would ever come back for his outstanding, phenomenal spike in the end zone. But you go recruit, well, Tom basically recruited Gronkowski out of retirement. So you add him to the thick of things, and with O.J. Howard, and you got Cameron Brate. You got three nice pieces at the tight end positions that you can easily win you ball games. So, in all, big-time move, and yes, if you don't know by now, I am picking the Buccaneers to win the NFC South.
Bryant McFadden is joining us. All right, now, you and I have talked about cards in the past. I know you were watching The Last Dance. How do you think that Michael Jordan would have done in some of the legendary card games that you and the Steelers used to have back in the day?
Oh, my goodness. Hey, Jim, it's funny that you mentioned that because I had a few conversations with some of the guys I used to play with. I would have loved to play cards with MJ. Number one, the reason why, there are a few reasons why I would love to play with MJ. Number one, his money is not running out anytime soon. So there's not a hand he don't like. He's just going to play, lose, and he's okay with that because his money trail is extremely long. So that'll be one of the reasons why. Secondly, for me, the opportunity to hit him across the head. I mean, you heard stories about Michael Jordan going to casinos and losing a million, right? Because he just wants to continue to play. He's so competitive. He don't believe he can lose. Man, we would have played all night long. Man, I know we talked about the story about the Super Bowl against Arizona. If Mike would have been in that game, we probably wouldn't have went to sleep at all.
That is the funniest thing, too. Like, he's never going to run out of money, and he's never had a hand that he didn't love. How about playing golf with Mike, right? I mean, there's never been a shot that he didn't think he could hit. Mike's something, man. You better be rich if you're going to play like that.
Oh, no question. And also, too, I'm not a golfer, but just watching The Last Dance and hearing some of the stories that were related to The Last Dance, Michael, I don't think he was a good golfer, Jim, because he lost a lot of money on the golf course. You never really heard Mike winning anything significantly speaking on the golf course. So if I was a golfer, yeah, I want Mike on the golf course because he can't play, but he thinks he can play. And those are the guys that love to bet on themselves when they don't really realize they're not that good.
Yeah, exactly. The thing is, and golf has always been the great equalizer. That's why guys like it, because you can never master it. You can never perfect it. It's great. And then when it's right, it feels so good. You're always chasing that feeling. Brian, the one thing I can't figure out about Mike, and I don't know why people are talking about it, but not to the extent that I thought they would. My man looked like he was burning cigars off of cigars. I know he was kind of a freaky athlete. I know the guy's work ethic was absolutely amazing. How could he smoke the way he smoked and get up and down the way he did?
I mean, extremely talented and just gifted. Some guys have the it factor when it comes to taking care of their bodies. They can do it 50% and still give you 100% in whatever it is they need to do on the court, on the football field. And also, too, you know what was mind-boggling for me was seeing these guys drink beer after a game.
Right. Well,
they were drinking canned beers after a win in the locker room.
Like, the thought being that these guys were slamming beer after games, or the guys like that who were like legends were drinking light beer and could do a hell of a lot better.
No question. I'm thinking, like, I was watching The Last Dance, and I was like, you know what? What would have happened if we, after a football game and in the locker room, guys were just drinking beers? You know what I mean? So I don't think that would ever happen in today's game. But for them, that was back in 97, 98. That's not too long ago. They were actually drinking beers. You know what I mean? So I would imagine other teams were doing the same thing. But it also tells you when it comes to your structure, your body structure, things that you can do in certain sports and some things that you can't do in certain sports.
I don't know, man. I think to your point, though, it's more about the fact that the act of drinking light beer on a training table while they're suited up after the game, it just was such a funky look. That wasn't the 60s either, by the way. That was the 90s. But then you fast forward, Brian, how cool is my man in that $4,000 tumbler loaded up with his $1,800 tequila? and just kind of rocking it, doing the interview. Like, he's just sitting there with that tumbler. I mean, why did he do that? Because he could. He's Mike. But that was a classic look. So whatever we thought about that look in the light beer after the game, he more than made up for it with the tequila or the scotch or whatever he had in that tumbler.
Man, no question. The thing is, I wonder how much that scotch or whatever it was cost that he was drinking. You know, they like there's no telling how much a shot of whatever that was is. In whatever bar you can go get it at, or restaurant you can go get it at. But, man, Mike is a living legend. I think people forgot how good he was. I actually watched Game 7 last night against Utah, and that was a game we saw in The Last Dance that Scotty had back spasms. But the way Mike carried that team was unbelievable. And just I forgot how good Mike was. You know, and I was in high school, early high school, watching him towards the end of his career. But, man, Michael Jordan was a bad man, man. His mentality was seek, hit, and destroy whoever it is. And he often did that.
Now, guys, my age, since we covered it, and I used to interview guys on that team, Mike was not an accessible guy. Like, you couldn't talk to Mike. But I remember very clearly, Mike was a very, very bad man. And then finally, to your point about the numbers, I think the speculation was he was pulling from one of his own bottles of tequila, his Jordan-branded tequila. And I think it was $1,800 for the bottle. So if you're asking me what would a glass of that cost, I just know this. I found a bottle of gin, Bryant, that was $800. And I found it in a hotel once. And I said, I've got to have a martini. That martini cost me $125. And I did it just once,
really?
Just to say I could do it, just to say that I did do it. So if an $800 bottle was a $125 martini, we're looking at probably a $250 glass of his tequila. Because
wow.
He could. Because he's Mike,
hey,
man.
Hey, Jim, you know, you big time, though, so you can handle that type stuff.
I did once. I could handle it once. I could handle everything once, man. You know this. Once. A 7-year NFL vet. And I knew as soon as we did it the first time, you and I would have to do this lots of times. He's a 2-time Super Bowl champ. He was the 62nd pick overall in 05. Bryant, good to have you back, my man. Always good to talk to you.
Likewise. Thank you for having me.
That was fun. Bryant McFadden covering a lot of ground. I love what he said about playing cards with Mike. I would love to play cards with Mike because, and Bryant McFadden back in the day played high stakes card games. I'd love to play with Mike because he was never running out of money and he loved every hand he had.